Tony and Jenny Brewski here from Real Ghost Stories Online. There has never been a better time than now to be an EPP, extra podcast person, to Real Ghost Stories Online.
There's more exclusive content than ever before.
Plus, our new EPP website is up and running where you can access all of our exclusive content anywhere you want on any device. Exclusive video, all of the archived episodes, it's all there when you sign up to be an EPP at realghoststoriesonline.com.
It's only $5 a month.
And that goes to keeping our show on the air and alive. Sign up now, become an EPP, and enjoy all of the bonus episodes for yourself when you sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com. Just click Become an EPP.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, a little girl is frightened when a very strange creature is peering through her bedroom window. Nurses find a locked hospital room has recently had a visitor. Now, that's a creepy idea.
Yeah.
That's scary. Can an animal ever repay the person who rescues them? One listener finds her deceased dog may have done just that. And a little boy in foster care finds he has a highly unusual guardian. Those stories, your calls, and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Jenny Brewski joining you once again.
Hello.
And how are you?
I'm excited about the show today.
You are?
I'm usually excited, but there's some neat ones today.
You're more excited than usual.
Yeah.
Extra excitement.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say there's been some extra excitement about last week's EPP episode.
Okay.
Number 48. There's quite the buzz going on our social media and on our forum about the missing little boy story.
Okay.
Which, you know, I'm not going to get into super detail on this episode or anything like that because it's an EPP exclusive, but want to hear what some of the folks are saying?
Sure.
About that story, which I said right after we were done with it, I said one of our top three stories ever.
I just call it the story.
Yeah. I mean, is it your favorite?
I think it is.
Of all of them?
I think it is. And I feel horrible saying that because I can't imagine the horror of going through that. But as far as the story itself, I think it's my favorite.
Yeah, as far as being a gripping, you know, really well-written, creepy-ass story, it is, it's right up there. Some of our listeners, Matt says, personally, I think it was one of the best, bizarre, and creepiest stories I've ever heard on RGSO. Emma says, I thought it was such a good story, definitely one of the best ones. Susan said, I too thought it was the scariest episode, yet I also feel incredibly sorry for the author. And I got another one from Wesley. It says, I saved my EPPs for Monday morning. That being said, this story is on the top five stories I've ever heard on RGSO, and I've heard them all. When I feel the shiver in my back, when my mind paints a detailed picture like this one did, it's easy to get lost and emotionally involved with the author. 5 stars. And Christine said, just listen to it now. There are no words. So we weren't far off when we said this is one of the best stories. I always wonder, you know, when we walk away from a story and if I was like really like, oh, my God, that was amazing. I think my judgment's pretty good on that.
Mm-hmm.
But I always walk away, you know, wondering, was it just me for whatever reason that really found that to be an amazing story or you know what? And I throw it out there and I'm wondering if like when you get, why did you think that was the best? But no, I'm glad that it was agreed upon.
I have to say, having heard it, you know, once before everybody else and then when you read it, it was a great story when I just read it to myself.
Mm-hmm.
But then hearing you read it just makes it that much creepier.
It was creepy.
Yeah. But I mean, there's something about the way you read it just added something else to it.
Oh, thank you. I don't know. I mean, sometimes when you're just reading a story, you just, I don't know, you kind of, you know, I know I have like a certain tone to reading a story, but I felt like when I was reading it, it was like, I don't know, it was just like kind of in a zone, kind of the pacing on it and all of that. It just felt, I mean, and kudos to the author for really
Oh, yeah.
writing a really well-written story.
Well, and without giving too much away, I'll just say it involves a bathroom, mm-hmm. a school bathroom.
Yeah.
And that's something all of us can remember, our school bathroom.
Sure.
And so you just imagine that scene with the story.
It's really easy to put yourself in it. Mm-hmm. And it's, and especially those of us who grew up before iPads and iPods, you know, we had personal computers, and the story takes what place in probably about the 80s or 90s or so.
Yeah, I think so.
And so, I mean, it's that world, you know, we had computers, but weren't like glued to them all the time, mm-hmm. you know, so you went out and you played, and what occurs in this is very much reminiscent of summertime. And being a kid in the 80s or 90s. Mm-hmm. So it's very, very relatable if you're from that generation or previous, you know, playing in the summertime. But anyway, it was a really good story. It's an EPP 48 if you want to hear it. You do need to be an EPP to hear it. But it's just one of the many perks of being an EPP. You get stories like that. Yeah. So anyway, it was fun. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. We obviously would love to hear it. Of course, you can also write it on the website at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you do want to discuss that episode at all, there is a thread on it on our message board now for folks. So feel free to jump on and discuss that EPP 48. Let's go to Heidi's letter today. Heidi says, "Hi, guys. Found your podcast from YouTube a few weeks ago and have been binging on them. Like so many other listeners, love the loving banter between you two, by the way. I'm from Finland and been interested in paranormal things all my life. When I was younger, I believed in paranormal and all that kind of religiosity. But since I've grown up, I've gotten much more skeptical about stuff. Still very interested, and it's been very intriguing to listen to all the stories you get. I've had some experiences in my teenage years, and I'm not sure to think about them now as an adult, but here are some of them. When I was about 12 to 14, I had something follow me around. Some of my friends said that they saw these things too, but I can't be sure if they just wanted to humor me or if they really saw these things also. I remember two of them especially well. The first one was a tall, pale man who had black clothes and red eyes. And I do mean tall, like 9 feet or over. The other one was fairly small, about 4 feet, and his face was covered in horrible burn scars. Once, as I was going to sleep and went to the window to pull down the roller blind, I was confronted with a pretty horrific sight. A tall man was standing under my window. He was so tall I could see his whole face in the bottom of my window. The light in the room illuminated his completely white skin and his red, huge eyes. He was looking directly at me. And when I made eye contact, he smiled at me, revealing a mouth full of pointy teeth. I didn't say anything, just pulled the blind down and went to sleep." See, I don't know how people can do that.
No.
It's like, "Oh, man with sharp, pointy teeth out my window. Let's turn on Leno and go to bed." This day, I cannot understand how I wasn't scared shitless, or if I was so scared I kind of went into shock. Okay, that kind of makes more sense.
Sure.
That was the only time I saw him that up close and personal. Thank God. For some odd reason, though, I kind of was scared of these things and wasn't. Maybe I just wanted to put up a brave front, most likely. Then there was the smaller guy. I once woke to him standing in my room in the middle of the night, creeping towards me and kind of hissing. I have the impression that he had two women there too, but it's been such a long time I can't be sure. I was quite annoyed that my sleep was interrupted and said, "Oh, please give me a break and get out." I also threw at him an extra pillow I always slept with. This made him back off and I just fell right back asleep. In the morning when I woke up, I initially thought I had had a dream, but when I turned to face my room, I saw my pillow right where I had thrown it against him. It still could have been a dream, though, but interesting nonetheless. Well, these are two of my stories, and I have more to share later. Not sure what to think of these today. I'll probably become an EPP at some point. Thank you for the great show and the opportunity for people to tell their stories. Keep up the good work. Best wishes from Finland.
As scary as the face in the window part of the story is, I think the part that scares me the most It's waking up and seeing that pillow where you threw it. That means you saw something real enough to throw a pillow at it, and the pillow's there the next morning. Mm-hmm. It's not like you just dreamt you threw a pillow at it.
Yeah. It's confirmed.
Mm-hmm.
But what would feel less scary? I mean, the man outside the window sounds like he looked more scary,
mm-hmm.
a much more ominous figure, but he's outside.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the man in the room, the shorts, less scary thing in the room. Still scary.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're going to, you know, one's a 5, one's a 10 on the scary scale.
Oh, I thought you meant the height scale.
Well, that too. But I mean, as far as, you know, I guess visual appearance.
Mm-hmm.
But then you have the psychology of he's in the room with you.
Yeah.
As well. There's not that thin pane of glass stopping it.
Right.
Which one's more scary to you?
Oh, I don't know. I think maybe the one inside, even though the other one outside sounded scarier looking, the mm-hmm. one inside is right there.
Yeah. I would have to say the one outside.
Okay.
Because the one inside, when it goes away, it went away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're kind of like, for whatever reason, the fact that you can see it go away, you're like, okay, well, maybe it's gone. When you just shut the shade on the one outside, number one, it's creepier looking. It's got the sharp teeth, but you don't know where it went.
Yeah.
At that point. I mean, not that you necessarily know where something disappears to when it disappears within your room, but I think more mystery there as to where did this thing go?
Or is it going to be there when I open my shade?
Exactly. Or yeah. Is it going to be there when I open the door? Or where, you know, all of that. I think that's where my mind would go with it. But obviously, there's nothing good about something standing there with, you know, grisly sharp teeth
mm-hmm.
peering into your window. That's usually not even the ghost of an ass soul, as there's some talked about.
Yeah.
I mean, people don't have teeth like that.
No.
Can you sharpen teeth? Can people get their... Is that an art thing? You know how, like... People do the giant earlobes mm-hmm. and every other sort of body modification. Can you do that to teeth, or would that just fuck with the nerves so much that you can't?
I think it messes with the nerves, but I think you can get, what is it, veneers?
Okay.
You know, to where it looks like that.
So you could get a veneer. Okay. You could probably get a veneer in any shape, really. Mm-hmm. You could have like footballs in your mouth if you really wanted it to.
Mm-hmm.
I guess be a super fan. But
sure.
That's creepy.
Yeah, it is.
Wow. I wonder if they, do they sell like, I can never do the fake teeth. You know, like at Halloween where mm-hmm. they sell like the teeth. I mean, obviously they're like one size fits all, which is probably not the easiest thing to do. But I could never, you know, use them in a costume. I don't know how people were able to do that.
No.
I would be like sit there gag and choking. It's mm-hmm. like, this is just not
it's
fun.
It's that waxy stuff. I can't do that.
It doesn't work for me. Remember the wax lips?
Yeah.
I hated those too. I know kids like would gnaw on that stuff.
Yeah.
What the hell was that?
I don't know. It's probably something that you shouldn't gnaw on because they're red. And so there's probably some kind of red dye in it.
And you're just gnawing on wax.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's to me, it's like, do you eat candles too?
Yeah.
I mean, where is the appeal there? I also could never do those little soda bottles.
Okay.
You know, that were wax mm-hmm. and you bit the top off of and got like the 3 drops of Kool-Aid inside because I couldn't deal with the having to bite into the wax.
Oh.
I was like, did you ever have those?
No.
You know what I'm talking about though, right?
I do know what you're talking about, but I never had them.
Yeah. Just bleh. Anyhow, on to other topics other than wax candies. Sarah writes in, hi Brewskis. It's Sarah from Ohio again. I have another strange experience from work to share. To refresh your memory, I work in a hospital on the night shift. I was in one of our ICU units chatting with a nurse. She only had one patient in the wing at 5 beds, so there were 4 other rooms cleaned and awaiting new admissions. She was telling me about a bizarre dream she had before work. In the dream, she said she was above her body looking down. She said at first she noticed a light-colored misty figure in the doorway to her room. She watched the figure waving its arms towards her body and the bed. When she looked back to her body, there was a dark figure horizontal over her body and a bluish-colored light from her chest. She said she suddenly awoke from the feeling of falling, and once awake, she was short of breath and gasping. She said her chest was sore as if someone had been putting weight on it. Just as she had finished her story, a strange alarm started ringing on the telemetry monitor in the nurse's station. Did I say that right?
Telemetry.
Telemetry monitor. There we go. What is that? Is that like the vitals?
I think so.
Okay. The screen read Sirius alarm, which neither of us had ever seen before working for years with these monitors. The strange thing is it was coming from one of the unoccupied rooms. I walked about 10 feet from where we were talking and peered into the room. It was dark, but light from the parking lot outside allowed me to see a little bit. I first noticed the sheet on the bed was pulled off onto the floor. Part of the sheet was still tucked in at the foot of the bed. There were wire leads hanging from the heart monitor in the room, ready to be hooked up to a patient. The leads were swinging violently hard as if someone had just hit them. Each room is temperature controlled. They each have their own thermostat. I first checked to see if an air vent was maybe hitting the wires just right, but because the room was unoccupied, the air vents were shut off. The windows do not open. There's no way a breeze came in that way. She and I just kind of stood there, puzzled. The room was marked sterile on the outside, meaning housekeeping had cleaned the room and made up the bed ready for an admission. There's no way someone was messing with us, because in those wings, there is only one way in and one way out through the motion-sensored double doors. We laughed about how we must have made something upset, talking about her dream. We went along with our work night, but I can't help but wonder if we were right, if maybe we did upset a spirit of sorts. Thoughts. I'm a proud EPP member. Thank you for doing the show. I love it. Take care, guys.
Okay, the swinging wires.
Mm-hmm.
That means something was just there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that would freak me out. Being at night in a hospital and something was just there where it wasn't supposed to be.
Mm-hmm. Would you get creeped out like in a modern day hospital? Or would you be more creeped out in like a, you know, circa, you know, anything, you know, older?
Oh, any hospital.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I don't like hospitals at all.
I don't feel that creeped out in modern day hospitals, at least if they've been updated.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why, but like older ones that you can tell, like, you know, just they have quite a bit of age on it. There's, you know, some of the tiling is still, you know, left over from, you know, the last time they did the tile job in 74. That gets me more creeped out. Modern ones, I don't know if it's just so, I don't know, modern institutional medical facilities. I don't really get any feeling with it.
I do.
Yeah.
It's just, and you know, I think the hospital that we go to, mm-hmm. you know, where I had both the girls and
yeah.
it was originally kind of in that spot, and then they've just added
mm-hmm.
and added and added, and it's kind of this maze of hallways.
Sure. Which are a lot of hospitals are like that.
So in the middle, in the interior, somewhere is the old hospital.
Sure. They
just added on, and it no longer looks like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think the energy from those days is still housed
sure.
in the facility itself. So yeah. that's why I feel no different being creeped out down the street at the hospital I go to versus one like...
Mm-hmm.
you know, a huge old gothic style that's been abandoned.
Sure. Well, that's because you're much more empathic than me, and I'm more like visual, psychological, I think, creeped out than I am like, oh, I'm feeling things here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I need like the visuals to go, oh, ooh, you know, and when it's so sterile and just, you know, basically human proofed,
yeah.
you know, then I'm like, eh, I don't know, I don't really get anything here. But that's just me because I'm really not sensitive to that sort of stuff.
My thing about hospitals that aren't abandoned
mm-hmm.
is I always wonder if the patients you see going up and down the hall, if any of them are really there or not really there. I mean, you're assuming they're all really there, but I'm always
yeah.
worried, like, is that really there or not?
It would be a great place for one of the ghosts that is able to manifest themselves so well, because you hear that. Mm-hmm. Like, the people looked like they were regular people. We had no idea they were ghosts until they disappeared,
mm-hmm.
you know. You know, you would no one would know any different unless there was something, some telltale thing like, look at them going down the hall. Oh, they don't have any feet.
Sure.
There's no feet underneath that gown. What's going on?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's an interesting thought. You know, and are you seeing some that I'm not seeing?
Yeah, that's always another thought, too.
That's an interesting way of looking at it. So, anyway, creepy hospital story. Thank you for sending that into us. 855-853-4802. Our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hannah writes in, "Hi, guys. This story isn't mine, but my aunt's. My aunt was a social worker for many years. She often had to go to very impoverished and dangerous towns to check on family situations. One night on her way back to her car, she heard a pathetic whimper coming from under a nearby house porch. When she went to investigate, she found a Doberman dog in really bad shape. He was chained up with his muzzle duct taped shut and missing most of his left ear. Being the animal lover she is, she ran to get her car and loaded him in. He wasn't very heavy from being so thin. The vet said it was impossible, but the dog lived and became a beloved family pet. His name was Bruce. Despite his rough beginning, he was the most even-tempered dog I have ever met. He let me crawl all over him as a toddler. Bruce passed away after a long and happy life. My aunt still has his tags on her keyring. About a year after Bruce passed, my aunt found herself back in the dangerous work area for work. Why they sent a small young woman to these places alone is beyond me. She was jogging to the lot she parked in because she said she felt like she was being followed. Well, she was. She was grabbed from behind and put in a tight headlock. She was fighting for her life, making as much noise as possible. She was dragged behind a vacant house. She was almost unconscious when the man let her go and sprinted away screaming for help. An elderly woman had heard the struggle and called the police. It wasn't long before they found my aunt. As for her would-be abductor, he literally ran into the police's arms as he was hauling ass and screaming his head off. When he saw the officer, he yelled, 'Shoot it, shoot it,' pointing behind him. The officer saw nothing chasing him, so he assumed the man was on drugs and took him in. On the ride to the station, the man continued to yell at the officer that he needed to go back and shoot the crazy dog before it killed someone. He described the dog as being a Doberman with one ear. My aunt knows it was Bruce coming back to save her, like she saved him. My family and I all believe that all dogs and other critters go to heaven, possibly even returning as guardian angels. Best wishes, Hannah from New York City."
That's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. I love dog stories.
Bruce the ghost dog. The ghost protector dog.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
My grandfather, when I was a little bitty girl, my dad's dad, had a Doberman named Rambo. And I and Rambo were best friends, and we'd sit at his bowl, and I would eat dog food with him. I was probably two, if that. But I remember that dog.
What Elpo or? What?
No, it was like the little, I don't know, it was probably kibble.
Okay.
You know, not the soft stuff.
Sure.
And then my mom saw me, and she made me stop. But
what did it taste like?
I don't even remember. I just remember doing it and getting in trouble. And I didn't eat a whole lot of it, but that dog and I looked eye to eye because he was so big.
Sure. That's fun.
It's my Doberman story.
Eating lunch with a Doberman.
Mm-hmm.
I have not tried Elpo. There's a sentence.
Okay.
Because I think I might have talked about this on the show before. On Thanksgiving one year, I had my intern, Jamie, we were looking at Christmas for or Thanksgiving for your pets, and because there's so many specials out there for, you know, people and how to make your holiday dinner and this and that, I thought, well, what about, you know, pet food? Everybody's kind of, you know, here's your bowl of shit, you know, a lot of us don't really, you know, do a whole lot. I mean, sometimes you need to get the scraps from the table if you're allowing your dog to do that, but a lot of times it's just, you know, here's the same old dog food you have every day again. So what we did was a pet food taste test, and I had my intern taste all foods on the air so we could give them some reviews and say, here's what, you know, it's just a silly, stupid morning show bit.
Yeah.
But at the time, you know, we went to Walmart the day before and picked it all out, and then we opened up the cans on the air. I don't think we did any kibble. It was all like wet foods. Mm. So everything from Fancy Feast for cats to Elpo, to Beggin' Strips and all of that. I was going to say, I was trying to remember if we did any kibble or if I tasted it. I did taste a Beggin' Strip.
Yeah.
It tastes like really cheap beef jerky.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it would not be horrible if that's all you had to eat. I mean, it would be horrible. But if like it was like Walking Dead situation, like world has ended, you know, you're scavenging through homes and all you can find is a thing of bacon strips. It would probably be preferable to eating a squirrel.
Okay.
You know, or trying to catch a squirrel. Yeah. If you could catch the squirrel and cook it and knew how to do that, that's one thing. But if that's not your thing and you're not Daryl, the bacon strips would probably suffice for a little while.
Okay.
Fancy Feast also, it kind of tasted like, we got like the turkey dinner one, and it really resembled and smelled like those ready-to-eat meals that you can get. I think Hormel makes them.
Uh-huh.
And there is like a gelatinous turkey dinner. And these are the ones that are not refrigerated. They're just so much sodium, they can sit infinitely on your shelf. It very much smelled like that. And we didn't heat it up, but I would imagine it probably tasted the same had you heaten up the Fancy Feast.
Mm-hmm.
Very similar in texture and look. So I would probably also be scouting out Fancy Feast should we ever be in an apocalyptic Walking Dead situation.
Good to know.
Give me my Fancy Feast and bacon strips, and I will be good.
Well, we can probably try and cook it kind of like Spam.
It probably would work.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you just heat some of that stuff up, and it's amazing, you know.
Ew.
Add a little Tabasco to it, and you're good to go. Tabasco, by the way, I saw it in the, got in the Sriracha game.
Oh, really?
They now have their own. I bought a bottle today.
Okay.
It tastes just like the other Sriracha. And it's a dollar more expensive, so I'm going back to the Rooster Sriracha.
Okay.
So, anyhow. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Krista writes in, "Hi, Tony and Jenny. Krista here from Texas. I wrote in previously about my experiences while living in my mother-in-law's house. My story today is from when I was 13 years old at a friend's birthday slumber party. I don't know Ouija board at the time, never having used it before. I thought this would be the perfect setting to use it in. It was a fun co-ed pool party, and once all the boys had gone home, the girls who were staying the night, about 7 or 8 of us, settled in and did whatever girly things we did before it started to get dark. Once nightfall hit, we decided it was time to get creepy. Brought out the Ouija board, and we all sat around reading the instructions and acting too scared to touch it first. Finally, after some peer pressure, 5 of us assumed our position on the planchette. We opened up the session, as the instructions had said, and waited. After asking about 3 times if anyone was in the room and wanted to speak with us, which now, having listened to the show for however many months, I realized this was a stupid thing to do, too. And after a few minutes of waiting, the planchette began to move. We did the typical thing and blamed each other for moving it. Everyone swore they were not moving it. I can't say for sure if the others were or were not, but I know that for sure I was not pushing it at all. The planchette landed on yes to let us know that someone was there. After freaking out a little, one of my friends asked, "Do you know any of us or do we know you?" Once again, the planchette went to yes. Same friend asked, "Who do you know?" The planchette began to move to spell something out. It started with a C and then H. At that point, I was so freaked out that I screamed and ran out of the room as I was the only one there with a name beginning with CH. My scream seemed to set off a domino effect, and the rest of the girls got freaked out as well, and that was the end of that for the night. Needless to say, we did not close out the session correctly. I felt a little dazed after this happened. The night rolled on as we kept the creepy vibe going by watching The Exorcist, and a couple of friends went on to play Bloody Mary and swore they saw something in the mirror. We ended up staying in one of those bouncy castles my friend's parents had rented for the party. We really didn't sleep for the rest of the night. I remember bringing the Ouija board home, but I can tell you now that I don't have it. I'm sure my mom has since thrown it out. I don't know if I'm just trying to make myself feel better about what happened all those years ago, but I often think back to it and can't help but think it might have been my Opa, German for grandpa, trying to get through to me. Just a year before, my Opa had passed away from leukemia. I had constantly been thinking about him and missing him, and of course I still do. But up to that point, I had wondered where he was, if he was okay, and if he knew how much I missed him. I still keep him in mind and am waiting for the day that I might get a sign from him again. Thanks for reading my story since my last letter. I have become an EPP, and it is awesome. Thank you both for such a great show. Y'all are the best. Loves and wishes, Krista.
you know, it's kind of nice when somebody's listened to our show long enough to now know, okay, that wasn't probably the best idea whipping mm-hmm. the Ouija board out. But you can't always, I mean, it's nice to think that it was probably the grandfather, but you can't know that.
No, there's no way of knowing. I mean, thankfully, you know, it didn't get too much worse than that.
Sure.
But it's really, you know, it's very difficult to say who or what was beginning to communicate that night.
See, in our house, there's two talks that you give to a young, you know, uh-huh. girl that age. Mm-hmm. The classic talk that no parent wants to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
But then the other talk is, what do you do if somebody brings out a Ouija board at a sleeping party, mm-hmm. slumber party, and how we don't do that.
It's Ouija Awareness week mm-hmm. and month that we have, and
We've had that talk with her, with Olivia. Harper's too little.
Mm-hmm. And then she's like, oh, you mean this big Ouija board that I painted on the bottom of my bed frame? And then she turns over the bed.
She did not.
And then she shows us the pentagram that she also cut into the carpet. And
I don't think she's ever even seen one.
That's true. So that would just be like a horrible, you know, oh, like this? Look at this. I've been using goat's blood, too. Mm-hmm. I found this at Whole Foods.
Ew.
I just thought I'd use it. But
yeah. You can't get goat's blood at Whole Foods.
Oh, yeah. It's not.
Okay.
You thought Well, no, I don't think you can.
You thought too.
Well, you never really know what you're going to find.
No, you don't.
I enjoy wandering around that store and getting stuff, but it's like buy one item and you're like, okay, that's my budget for the day.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't think they have goat's blood readily available. I'm sure it's available at some of the specialty markets in town. Because, I mean, mm-hmm. stuff like that's used in soups and, you know, for various cultures and stuff. Mm-hmm. But I probably not at the Whole Foods aisle.
Okay.
Probably not. Josie writes in, one night I woke up to what I thought was an earthquake. My bed was shaking. Sitting at the edge of my bed was an elderly man. There was a full moon that night, so I could see what he was wearing and what he looked like. He had a suit on and he had a full head of white hair. He was stocky. When I opened my eyes, I saw that he had been shaking in my bed. He stopped shaking the bed when he saw that I'd woken up. I panicked, thinking there was an intruder in my home. When he noticed I was panicking, he mentioned to me to keep quiet. I didn't know what else to do, so I started to recite the Our Father. As soon as I started to do this, his body rose vertically at first, similar to a puppet being handled by a puppeteer, like there was an invisible string attached to him. Then he floated horizontally towards the TV at the corner of the room and disappeared into the ceiling above the TV. I've had other experiences over the years before then, but none as vivid as this. In retrospect, if this was an apparition and not a figment of my imagination, I wish I could have asked him what he needed. After this experience, I put it out there to the universe that I did not want to be visited by these apparitions. It's been 13 years since this last experience, and I've never been bothered again.
I wonder what the point of shaking the bed is.
Get attention?
I guess. I don't know. That's just weird.
Maybe there's a message that was wanting to be conveyed, but here's what I don't... If this was not like a malevolent, evil thing mm-hmm. going on, why would it then be affected or wanting to flee when that prayer is being said?
Yeah.
You know, I would think that the average ghost, regular ghost, would be like, okay, are you done with your prayer now? Okay, I'm still here. Mm-hmm. I'm not a demon, so you don't need to pray me away, you know?
Maybe the ghost was afraid that that would be the end of him.
Okay.
Maybe it's somebody that enjoys haunting and shaking beds.
I could see. And doesn't want to be bound by whatever rules there are of we're wishing you away and mm-hmm. not coming back.
Yeah.
That can make some sense.
I don't know. Makes about as much sense as a ghost that shakes the bed, which I believe happens because sure. we have several stories.
And then flies through like the wall. Yeah.
It's just, I don't understand the point. What's the point mm-hmm. of doing that?
I don't know.
Okay.
I got nothing.
Okay.
855-853-4802 is our number. Dan writes in, hello, my name is Dan. I had a very rough childhood. I was in foster care for most of it. Not the best place to be a 6-year-old or put it in your preteens. My story starts when I was about 5 years old. I don't remember much about that time in my life, but the one thing that stands out to me was a little person who always stood outside of my door at night. It never scared me, as far as I know, he was always there watching me as I fell asleep. When I'd ask about it, my parents would dismiss me outright. But one night, I really needed to go to the bathroom, which I was always afraid of doing because of this entity. As the sun would set, it would be just a shadow, but as the night progressed, he'd become more solid, but I never really got a good look at him till the night, which I'm about to tell you about. As I approached the door to my room, I was able to make out more detail than I had before. He was a round figure wearing a leather vest and had a satchel tied onto a belt around his waist. He was about 4 feet tall and had dark brown-green skin with the head of a toad. Yes? A toad. And when I approached him, he spoke to me, "What are you doing?" in a very annoyed tone, fast and gruff-like, an angry parent finding their kid in a cookie jar in the middle of the night. All I could choke out was the word bathroom. His eyes followed me until I shut the door and went about my business. I slept in the tub that night, freaked out, trying to wrap my mind around what had just happened. My foster dad woke me up angrily. He thought I had ran away in the night and had been searching for me all morning. When I tried to tell any adult about this, I was told it was all my imagination. One night in a different foster home, as I was moved around, as a lot of foster kids are, my roommate, who was about 9 years old, woke me up in the middle of the night to ask me if I saw a large frog person at our doorway. He was freaked out. I told him it was my guardian looking out for me and not to go near him because he's angry that they keep moving me around to different homes. He thought I was making it up and started yelling for our foster parents, but by the time they got to our door, it was gone. It had vanished faster than the shadow when you turn on the light. About an hour later, he reappeared, and I went to sleep knowing that however freaky he may have looked, he was my guardian. I don't know how I knew this, but I just did. I never felt anything but peace from him, and he actually kept me sane during those years. I know this isn't technically a ghost story, but this was an apparition that I still feel just outside my door today, making sure I'm safe. I've done some research on the topic and have discovered he is what pagans call a familiar, a spirit that looks after its chosen person all of their life and protects them from harm. My wife has seen him, and he even looks in on my daughter. She tells me, "Daddy, there's a toad man outside my door at night," and I tell her he's there to keep you safe, sweetheart. Anyway, I live in Savannah, Georgia now, and he's nothing but kind to me and my family, and it feels good knowing I have someone looking out for me and my family on that side of the spirit world. Let me know your thoughts and tell me what you think. As always, have a wonderful day, and next time you're in Savannah, let me know. I'm a history buff and could take you on a private ghost tour. I know all the stories. I live 2 blocks from
Bonaventure?
Yes, Bonaventure. I would love to show you guys around. Were we near that area?
Cemetery.
Oh, that's when we walked by.
No, it's a different cemetery.
Okay.
But that's kind of cool that there's something kind of protecting him. But
sure.
What a description, though.
Yeah, that would be disturbing to have a toad man outside your window. My first thought would be, you know, had all these other people not on their own come out and said, "Hey, I see a toad man."
Mm-hmm.
I'd think, well, you're, you know, going through a lot of, you know, strife in your life. And, you know, it's not exactly the easiest situation to be going through those things. Maybe your mind has created this as a, you know, which that's what the human mind is capable of doing. But the fact that all these other people have seen it makes me go, nope, it was not just created.
No.
Although, here's an interesting thought about that. Is it possible when someone, you know, is going through very difficult times and, you know, people come up with different coping mechanisms
mm-hmm.
to deal with things. Could this be something that was created by the writer of the story? And it's such a strong creation that it is projected out there. And others are then able to see it. Not saying they're like, you know, maliciously, "I'm going to create this messed up toad man to scare people," because that's clearly not what's going on here. But as a coping mechanism of some sort, by trying to go through all those home after home after home, somehow this was conjured up. Mm-hmm. I'm just throwing an idea out there. And then because it was conjured up and it was such a strong belief, you know, could it have taken on essentially a life of its own? It's something we've kind of touched on before.
I don't know. I can definitely understand the conjuring things up as a coping mechanism,
mm-hmm.
but not something that others are going to see. And I don't think you can be, I just don't think you can be strong enough to conjure something up that's mm-hmm. in your mind and then it's now reality and others are seeing it.
Sure.
You may see it just as plain as you and I are sitting here.
Yeah.
But not your kids or your roommates or your wife.
Where it becomes reality to other people.
Yeah.
As well. Yeah, just a thought.
Yeah.
To throw it out there. I wonder if anyone has any insight into that sort of phenomenon. I mean, it's kind of like the doppelganger thing of living people or seeing the, mm-hmm. you know, another living people, but it's an idea that essentially was created. I don't know. 855-853-4802. That's our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. We would absolutely love to hear it. Let's go over to the phones and get a call. Ryan in Toronto. Hi.
Hey, Tony and Jenny. How you doing? It's Ryan from Toronto calling. I called in about a year ago with a story about my cottage where the big family shared cottage. There's a rumors of a woman that kept being seen, and the one time we were all down at the bonfire, and we all happened to look back at the cottage, and we seen the woman, did a head count, and realized we didn't know who it was. Somebody went up to the house eventually, and the lights turned out. So anyway, just a quick update on that. It was Canada Day last week, and everybody goes up on Canada Day, probably about 40 people up there. But the week before, unfortunately, my aunt-in-law's father passed away. So she, after the funeral and that, she headed up to the cottage with one of her friends who was visiting from the East Coast. She came for the funeral. So the two of them just went up to the cottage on their own, just for a little, I guess, sort of retreat or whatever. And my aunt was sleeping in her room, and her friend, who I don't really know, she picked the room next to hers, which happened to be the room where we saw the woman when we were at the bonfire a couple of years before. So they're there, and the first night they're drinking some wine and whatever they're doing. And they decide to go to bed, and the woman goes into her room, and the bed's made nicely, so she pulls the sheets down and fluffs the pillow up. And there's like some stuffed animals on the bed. And she takes those off. And then she goes, oh, shit, I forgot. I got to brush my teeth. So she runs to the bathroom, brushes her teeth, comes back, and the sheets are pulled back up to the top. The pillow's flat again, and the stuffed animals are on the pillow. So she's like, what the hell? So she doesn't say anything. So she just pulls it down and goes to bed. And then the next night, it's still just the two of them up there. It's still a few days before Canada Day, and they knew that a bunch of us were coming up, but weren't expected for a few days. So anyway, so the next night, they're doing the same thing, and they go to bed. And while the woman's sleeping in the middle of the night, she hears the door open, so she rolls over in her bed to look at the door. And a little old lady comes in the room, walks right past her, doesn't acknowledge her, doesn't look at her, walks over to a little a dresser, opens the bottom dresser, pulls out some of the visiting friend's clothes, moves them to a different drawer, closes the drawer back up, goes to the corner where there's a bunk bed, and pulls down the sheets for the bunk bed, and I don't know what she does, just like kind of messes around with the bed a little bit. So the lady's laying in bed just watching it all, and she's thinking, oh, it's another one of the aunts has come up, and obviously I'm in her room, and she's going to bed, so she doesn't even say anything, and she just lays there quietly. And then just as quickly as it happened, the woman walks out, closes the door behind her, and that was that. And then my aunt's friend goes to bed. So the next morning, she wakes up, and she asks my Aunt Laura, she says, like, who else is here? And Aunt Laura's like, no one's coming for another 2 days. So she tells my Aunt Laura the whole story, and the two of them just start freaking out. So then my Aunt Laura tells her the legend of the cottage, how every once in a while someone sees an old lady, and the big bonfire story from a few years before. So this woman from the East Coast just freaks out. So she goes, okay, I'm going back home to Toronto. So my aunt convinces her, no, everything's fine. We're scheduled to stay till the weekend. Don't worry, everything's fine. So the woman leaves that room the next night and goes into my aunt's room and sleeps in a bed with my aunt. That night, the next night after they go to bed, they're sleeping together now. At about 2 in the morning, they stayed up drinking that night. I know they got drunk that night. So they hear a knock at the door at like 2 in the morning. Not at the front door of the cottage, of their bedroom door. So the woman wakes my aunt up and goes, who's knocking at the door? So they just lay there quietly together in dead silence. My aunt's like, there's no one knocking at the door. And as soon as she finishes saying that, there's another little tap at the door. So they both just grab each other, lay there. No more knocks. My aunt finally gets up, opens the door, no one's there. So the next, about 6:30, the woman wakes my aunt, my aunt wakes up, and the woman, her friend from the East Coast, is all packed. And she says, well, that was fun. I'm out of here. So my aunt had to drive her home, and she missed out on the weekend. But, I just wanted to update you on the woman at the cottage. The story lives on. Okay, Tony and Jenny, love you guys. Take care.
Wow, I don't think I would have stayed either.
Really?
No.
You don't? I mean, it sounded like a fairly harmless, just someone trying to, it's like ghostly housekeeping.
Yeah, it's harmless, but knocking on the door and messing with your room and...
If you put like the do not disturb sign outside, do you think that it would have been honored by the ghost?
I wonder.
What would also be interesting is to see what sort of soaps they leave you. You know, do you think the ghost leaves like period piece soaps? Like, oh my gosh, look at this. It's a bar of soap from 1972, you know, from the era or whatever. Do they have mini soaps? And
I have no idea.
The little mini toiletries that are at like every hotel and everything these days. I know it was a cottage, but... Yeah. But I don't know. I mean, that's interesting. Do you think it was residual? Do you think it was a intelligent entity that, you know, had been interacted with, would have been able to respond?
I think maybe it was an intelligent entity who just wanted to keep the cottage just so.
Yeah.
And not have anything messed up.
Just going about their day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Very interesting story. That was a good one. Thank you, Ryan, for calling in and sharing that with us. 855-853-4802, the phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to Chris in California. Hi.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. My name is Chris. I'm currently located in Santa Ana, California. And the funniest thing, this happened to me a couple weeks ago back in late of June. I kind of had to take a break from thinking about it or sharing it, but this had to do with a different podcast that I listen to besides your show when I'm normally working here at the post office. And it was the Paranormal, I think the podcast is called Paranormal Podcast by Jim Harold. And he had an episode 387. And basically, let's see, Jenny Ashford and Tom Ross, we're talking about the Mammoth Mountain poltergeist. And when I was listening to that segment, I just started having these weird, it's hard to explain it. I started having like my senses were starting to heighten, maybe because of fear, because it was a creepy story. But I went ahead and took a break from the task I was doing at that time to use the restroom. And I was heading towards the restroom, and I saw a black figure into the bathroom before I was even able to walk up to enter the bathroom, maybe a couple of feet away from the door. So I enter, and I use the restroom. And then all of a sudden, I just started having that pressure on my shoulders, my neck, and a sense of dread, a natural sense of dread. And I'm a spiritual guy. I've been sensitive since I was a kid. So I knew this was a malevolent spirit. I normally associate malevolent spirit with demonic presence. And I got up and I prayed. And as I exited the restroom and I went back onto the working floor, everything seemed brighter, everything seemed louder, and as if my senses were much more heightened, while I still had this dread, this pressure on my neck, my shoulders, my upper part of my back, and my neck hairs were up, and I knew something was lingering on me. So I continued to work. I was really ill at that time, and I just was trying to keep faith in front of everybody, because if I, you know, break out and say I'm disturbed or I have a problem, people might think I'm crazy. So I kept on praying, and then I told this entity, my faith is stronger than you. And I knew the presence was sentient, because it felt like it was a struggle, like the pressure would dissipate, but come back full force, and then it would dissipate as I was praying and speaking to it and telling it to leave. And eventually it left, and eventually my senses were kind of went back to normal. And I tried to turn back on the podcast, and I listened to maybe like 5-10 minutes of it, and I heard a female voice say hello, and I just removed the earphones, and I stopped listening to that show. And so when I was done with the task, and I took at my job, and I took a break, I called my mom, because you know she's a Christian, and we prayed, and for reinforcement. I just told her, like, you know, I had this episode in this facility, and it never happened prior or even now, but I just needed some time to really think about sharing this, because it was traumatic, and I was under, I was kind of fearful that it would come back if I brought it up, you know, shortly after. So it's been a couple of weeks, but I just want to, you know, mention the show, you know, that I actually today I went back and listened to the entire episode. Nothing happened, but it was just weird that the attack happened on this particular day. What if I was in a different mood or what? But it just was a weird, weird episode. So I hope you guys take care, and I'll be listening in regardless if this is not shared to the masses. All right, take care. Bye.
So do you think that would have happened to him if he'd been listening to us instead?
No, not at all.
Okay.
We are free of making you possessed. With the possession-free guarantee, Real Ghost Stories Online. No, I mean, I think if you're already, if there's something going on, I mean, or even not, you know, you are opening yourself up to, you know, this subject matter anyway, mm-hmm. you know, by listening to it. It's a totally other thing if, you know, there's other things going on in your world and, you know, it could possibly, you know, make you a target.
Yeah.
You know, that seems to be, you know, happening. You know, if you're in a very vulnerable state.
It makes you wonder if something was lingering around, and because he was listening, they were like, ooh, he's open to this.
Yeah.
Watch this shit.
Yeah, I mean, if you're already being targeted, it may have had absolutely nothing to do with what you were listening to. Just more so, you're open to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's kind of my thoughts on it. But very interesting story.
Yeah.
You know, thank you for calling in and sharing that. I've always kind of wondered about that concept of, you know, when you're, you know, especially like when you're listening to like EVPs or,
mm-hmm.
You know, when you, I remember like Art used to have on a lot of, you know, priests that dealt in exorcisms, and sometimes they'd play audio back from the exorcism or talk about it in depth. And it's just like, could this like open anything up just by listening?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I always kind of wondered. I think it really just kind of depends on the individual situation. So anyway, thank you for calling in and sharing that story with us. If you like the show, please consider becoming an EPP, extra podcast person. That's what keeps us on the air. You'll get access to that episode we were talking about earlier in the show about the little boy that just went missing and a very paranormal experience there in EPP 48, plus all of the past EPP bonus episodes. Great brand new ones every single week for you. You get access to all of it when you sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com. It's only $5 a month. And thank you in advance for doing just that. All right. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.